Hello, welcome to the WDub Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by a good friend who we haven't had time to sit down with and talk for a while, my buddy Jesse Fouts. Jesse, how are you?
Good, Chris. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
It's been a while since we caught up, right?
Yes, it has. It's been quite a while.
Okay, I'm going to throw shade at you right now to start. It's been a while that I've seen you sitting on the beach eating hot dogs and living the life of Riley in every cool location, stateside and otherwise. So I got to tell you, I am jealous of looking at your professional career and the trajectory you've taken as your role from just former working for, you know, mattresses and whatnot to travel agent to you're a big shooter now, right? What is that official title now, Jesse? What is that called?
Yes. So starting January 1st of this year, I was offered the role of director of operations for Marvelous Mouse Travels. So that took on, brought me into a whole new level inside the travel industry, as I work with internally with our agents and the agency. And I also do vendor partnership relations. So I work with different vendors, and it's been amazing. You know, travel is a fun thing. And I think that, you know, I think even us talking here and my love for Disney got me into that. Right. It's great to be where I'm at. So.
Outstanding. So here's full disclosure. I contacted Jesse a few weeks ago and I said, hey, you know, we haven't had an update about your life in Florida. Let's talk a little bit about your acclimation and how life's taken on over in as a full-time resident. And then as I realized, I got a wealth of knowledge sitting in front of me on a topic that we don't discuss at all on the Dubs, and shame on us, because inherently, if you're a Disney fan, deep down inside, you're a theme park fan, which also makes you by default a Universal fan. Yeah. Even though some of us are like, oh, we're not going to go, you'll have a great time. So I get a wealth of knowledge sitting here at the Universal Parks. And you know what? We don't talk anything about them. So we're going to resolve that today with Jesse. Yes. But before we do that, let's share. We started off the same way. I want to know something good in your life. Share. What do you got good in your life, buddy?
Absolutely. So I just recently celebrated my 15th wedding anniversary to my lovely, beautiful wife, Mary Alice Fouts. And we are actually going to be celebrating that 15-year anniversary next week. We're going to fly down to Montego Bay, Jamaica for a couple of days and kind of just live it up a little bit. And, I'll hopefully eat some more hot dogs on the beach, Chris.
Good for you. 15 years. She's a saint. She's a saint at this point.
Look, I don't know how. I truly, you know, it's amazing that she's put up with me this long. So,
could I just tell you recently, though, one of the things besides that, which makes me smile from ear to ear, one of the posts that I saw recently that makes me just, it made me laugh out loud, was seeing your son troll you while he was at Universal and he was snacking on food and trolling dad that he was at. I was like, I love it. I love it. Yes. That he's giving dad the business. So
it's funny because when we started, when we moved down here and he went to school, he started as a seventh grader down here. And, you know, the eighth graders, he come home, he says, the eighth graders get to celebrate their grad night at Universal Orlando, Dad. And he told me this last year. Mm-hmm. And he was so excited. And this year, you know, of course, as an eighth grade, he looked forward to it. And he was just over the moon about it. He says, I get private access to the Wizarding World, Dad. I get to go to Velocicoaster. And he was just having the time of his life. But yeah, he sent me a picture from Mel's Diner. You know, he's like, check this out. He had a special souvenir cup, which he lost, you know, but I told him, I said, we'll get you another one. That's fine.
That's awesome. All right. So let's jump right in. Cause again, you know what? We think we're all Disney experts. If you listen to this, you're a Disney expert. I'm probably the least educated of everyone who's listening or engaging, but you know what, when it comes to Universal, there are so many cool things going on and so many, honestly, some momentous projects that like just are unbelievable in terms of timelines and accomplishments and what the scopes of these projects are. So like literally I'm going to be the guy that just like hands it off to you, but let's just start off first things first. So what's new, and let's talk about some rumors of what's going on just and what's actually been established and planned for at the Universal Parks, if you don't mind.
Yes, absolutely. So You know, Universal Orlando Resort is such a fantastic place. And if you're listening and you're thinking, you know, I'm never going to divert my time away from Disney, I urge you to reconsider this, because I was that way. And I can tell you now, it is, you know, I kind of split my love between Disney and Universal. And I think, you know, there are things that I'm going to say that I love so much more about Universal than Disney. But, you know, as you're looking at, you know, what's new, well, we've got a brand new land getting ready to make its entrance here in the coming weeks. It's going to be imminent. Universal hasn't released a date yet, but I know that cast member or team members, got to get that Disney term out of Disney,
for sure. It embeds it. It's hard.
Team members are starting to do tests on the actual VillainCon, which is going to be in the new Minions land. At Universal Studios, Florida. So that's Universal Studios Park. Currently, they have the Minion Mayhem attraction there. So what they did is several months back, Shrek 4D shut down forever. And I know a lot of people were sad about that. And then, of course, Monsters Cafe, which is right next to it. So what they've done is they've rethemed this entire section. And they've added a new ride there. It's VillainCon, and it's going to be based off the AVL. If you've watched the Despicable Me or the Minions, the you know, you've got the Villain League there, and then the Anti-Villain League. So you're going to be kind of in an interactive ride there, which is going to be neat. So they just opened a brand new merchandise store the other day, which is really neat. Got to check it out. And then over right next to it is going to be a Minions themed eatery. And you won't be able to miss it, because there's a giant pink cupcake at the top with Minions. So that's going to replace the old Monsters Cafe there. So very, very neat. And it's going to be good to have kind of a new land and in one of the parks. So.
Outstanding. So it's, I will say, it was a little sad when they announced and took away Shrek 4D. That was fun. That was really just, I've been a fan of the Shrek series since it, you know, since, well, the first one, but yeah. You know, I loved it. And Monsters Cafe. Yeah, it was, I mean, it was a throwback to Universal, right? It's a throwback to Universal Pictures, you know, and whatnot, but I certainly understand, you know, of why. Right. So, okay. All right. Outstanding. So we got Minionland. Now, what else do we have besides that?
So the most recent attraction to come to the Universal Orlando Resort area, besides that, is actually out in City Walk that you're going to be able to find. And that's going to be the Great Movie Escape Rooms. And I don't know if you've heard about these, Chris.
I have heard about it, but I couldn't tell you what the theming of them are.
So this is great. And for anybody who is a fan of either Jurassic Park or Back to the Future, you're going to want to check these themed movie escape rooms out. These are fantastic and very fun. So if you're a fan of escape rooms, this just takes it to a new level, because you've got the power of Universal behind it with the Easter egg theming inside of the escape rooms. And, you know, they've even got a nice bar in there too, with themed drinks that you can enjoy either before or after you have escaped. So, you know, that definitely is worth checking out. And speaking of Jurassic Park, Chris, this is really cool. If you are going to be in the Orlando area now, between now and Halloween, you need to check out the Tribute Store in Universal Studios, because the Tribute Store is now themed for the 30th, yes, 30 anniversary of the original Jurassic Park movie that released on June 11th of 93. So
hang on. That movie can't tomorrow. Be that movie tomorrow. Can't be that movie can't be 30 years old. I mean, it's still my new release list. Yeah, Jesse. I mean, at this point,
I think about this is that movie had such an impact on me, and I'm probably sure it did you as well. But I just remember in awe, you know, watching that movie, and we wore that VHS out. And for those of you that don't know what VHS is, that's a big tape. you know, those things that you, the big box. But yeah, we love that movie. But that the Tribute Store is really neat. You can walk in, and there's merchandise inside of it. Yes, there are things that you can buy, but the way that they theme the Tribute Stores, you're going to find that there's some really great Easter eggs and things in there that are, you know, people that are fan of Jurassic Park, and you can walk through, check out. There's a couple of photo spots. my favorite photo spot. I'll post a picture. I'm going to post this online if I will go find it. But there's a section, you know, where the lawyers, he has to go to the bathroom with the T-Rex, right? Oh, and then the Bruce moved. They've actually got a toilet there.
I was going to say, holy cow, is it a toilet? Yeah. Oh,
okay. You can sit on the toilet, and then the then you've got the big giant T-Rex that's coming in over the top and the roof.
That's awesome. So,
a very fun, fun photo place. But yeah, check that out. That's in Universal Studios as well. And then, of course, if you haven't been recently in the last 2 years, we have VelociCoaster, which is probably the most fantastic roller coaster in the Orlando area, I think, in my opinion. So.
Wow. So yeah, I haven't been in the last 2 years. It's, you know, shame on me for that as well. But yeah. Let's go back to the Jurassic Park, if you don't mind, the Jurassic Park escape room specifically. So describe, so there will be people in our listening audience that have never done an escape room. Describe what an escape room means for people.
Sure, absolutely. So first of all, so escape room, so exactly what it sounds like is it's a room you are going to have to escape from, but not in the sense of your life is in danger. So you're going to pretend like that in some sort with the theming, but definitely there's always going to be a way for you to get out of the room. And I say that just because I know there are some people that legitimately, you know, that thought of being stuck in a room kind of would scare you, you know? Yeah. But how these are is basically you work together with a team of people. It could be your friends, your family. It could be strangers, depending on how many people you're going to take into one of the escape rooms. And what it is you have to use the clues in the room to find your way out. And what I mean by finding where you're out is there might be several sections in a room where you have to do some type of puzzle. And you might not even know what the puzzle is, Chris. You might have to figure out the puzzle itself. And, you know, again, this is a really good team building exercise too. So if you want to know the dynamics of how like friendships work, take some friends in there and figure out quick, who's your leader? Who's your encourager?
Okay.
Who's your doer? Because they're, you know, it takes all different types of personalities to kind of work through these, you know, because, and if you're a competitive person, escape room is fantastic because you try to beat the time, right? They'll say, here's the time you need to beat to get out of the room. Mm-hmm. And, there is a time limit. So you do need to try to escape before that time limit. And then of course, you know, that's one of the things is challenge yourself when you're in an escape room. But so this just takes it to a whole new level because it throws in that, you know, that element of theming behind it, especially the Back to the Future. You know, I'm a huge Back to the Future fan. Definitely everything Marty McFly, everything Doc Brown and you know, Biff Tannen, all that stuff is so great. So you definitely will want to enjoy those escape rooms.
Okay, so put a pin in that and move it just slightly to the side. So one of the questions we had in our listener group in Edcot was, do you need park reservations right now to get in the parks? And then I would counter that by saying, for this escape room, is it walk up, first come, first served, or is there reservations required for these new escape rooms?
Absolutely. So there you can make reservations for the escape rooms. Mm-hmm. But you can also do walk up. Now, I would say if you are coming during a busier time of the year, Christmas, Thanksgiving, you know, definitely look at reservations. It's always safe, but they will have walk up availability. So you can definitely check that out. As far as the parks, the theme parks themselves, because you've got Universal Studios Park, you've got Universal's Islands of Adventure theme park, and then you also have Universal's Volcano Bay Water Park, which in my opinion is the very best water park in all of Orlando. I think you don't have to have park reservations to get into these parks. You just have to have valid admission.
Gotcha. Yeah. You actually went live yesterday to talk about Volcano Bay. And that's how strongly you believe in it. So we may have to come back and visit that again at a later point, just to talk about the pros and very few cons that would be there for Volcano Bay. So, all right, let's talk about timelines and insane achievement in just a few years. Let's talk about what you want to talk about in terms of epic, would you?
Yeah. So So Epic, Universal's Epic, it'll be actually Epic Universe. And I think I said Epic, Universal Epic, but it's Universal Epic Universe that's coming. That's going to be the third theme park to Universal, or actual dry theme park, because we do want to differentiate water park. So you've got Universal Epic that's going to be releasing sometime in 2025. And I don't know if you've heard about this, Chris, or not, but there's going to be a couple different influences coming into this. And I think a lot of people are going to be excited for this, but you're going to have Super Nintendo World as part of the Epic Universe.
Okay.
And right now, if you've seen this, probably maybe some friends or have gone over, I actually got a chance to visit it, but they opened in Universal Hollywood Super Nintendo World with one attraction there. And then, of course, the themed land with some interactive games and things like that throughout the land. But this is going to be on a grander scale, a more epic scale, if you will, where you're going to have not only just a Mario themed ride, but you're also going to see some of those other Nintendo IP come into play, like Donkey Kong. So I am super, super excited for that. I think a lot of people are super excited because of, you know, the success of how this is done overseas with their Universal parks there, then now in California. And then once we get it to Orlando, which is the vacation destination, you know, they're going to do it right. And then, you know, I think Universal in a lot of this, and Chris, I will just put a disclaimer out here, is speculation, you know, but, you know, you read some things and there's actually people dedicated and they do a really good job. They do flyovers with drones and things like that to kind of cheat to see what's there.
Gotcha. Of course.
Stuff online. You're going to have some stuff that's going to be dedicated to the DreamWorks, franchises. We might get Shrek back in some form.
Okay.
No, but definitely, I think one that's really missing from the parks and from Universal and has a huge fandom out there is How to Train Your Dragon.
Gotcha.
I personally love those movies. You know, my son watched them growing up and, definitely, you know, as a result, you know, I fell in love with them too. So I think it'd be neat to see what they do with that franchise there. And then we kind of get to continue Wizarding World too, right? So we have Diagon Alley in Universal Studios. We have the Hogsmeade Village where you'll find Hogwarts Castle at Islands of Adventure. But the rumor is that this is going to be something Fantastic Beast part of the Wizarding World. So I don't know. Again, you know, I was a fan of the Fantastic Beasts franchise, definitely loved Newt Scamander and definitely the, you know, the different little characters and the creatures that came through that series. You know, of course, you know, we could see those announcements start to come in here in the next couple months.
I got a question. I almost want to interrupt you because it almost feels like an arms race. It's an IP arms race between all these entities, between the Disney and Universal.
Yeah.
But you've mentioned all the things for, you know, the Epic Universe. Have they talked about food options or have they talked about like any potential like lodging options around there?
Yes. So, yes, absolutely. And I think this is even more exciting. There's going to be three new hotels coming to this area too. So three new Universal hotels, which is just going to expand that profile. And then of those three hotels, there's again a rumor, and you know you hear it here first. It's a rumor, but there's a rumor that one of these could even be themed after the Wizarding World or Harry Potter in some form or fashion.
Wow.
So I don't know about you, but that would be awesome. I think a Harry Potter themed hotel in any form would be fantastic.
Be careful when you say in any form, because we just went to the Halcyon and we saw how the Galactic Star Cruiser, it seemed to just hit and then it just, where's it going? You know? And now we're at the point where we're reconfiguring and figuring out how to use the building. So
yeah, you know what I would also contest there to say that I think, you know, we have that visceral relationship with the Wizarding World, whether the movie with the movies and how you walk into Diagon Alley today and you feel like you've walked into that Harry Potter film. I think that that's where Wizarding World hits with a lot more people than, say, what Galaxy's Edge and Halcyon at Disney did, is because you didn't have that emotional tie, except for the Millennium Falcon. Don't get me wrong. I mean, when you see the Millennium Falcon, it's fantastic. But with Wizarding World, if they tie it, if they keep it tied to what we know and love from Wizarding World, I think what they will do with that might be successful. Now, again, you know, it could be that they might just do themed rooms inside of a hotel that are just Harry Potter themed. So it might just, and the hotel might not all be themed. I don't know. They will be Lowe's owned and operated hotels in a partnership with Universal, kind of like what they have now.
Gotcha.
So you'll see that same form and fashion inside of, as far as the hotels go. And Chris, I don't know if you've had a chance to stay at any of the Universal properties, but they're fantastic. Even their value properties are great. And they really are a value, I think, for people that are looking to visit and stay at a Universal property. So, hey, guess what? I also thought of one more thing. So, you know, we have City Walk at Universal Orlando Resort today. So that's the dining, shopping, entertainment district. If you're going to any of the Universal, if you're going to Universal Studios or Universal's Islands of Adventure, you have to go through City Walk. There's no way to avoid it. But that's where you'll see a lot of fun shops, food, and eatery. They're going to have their own version of a City Walk with Epic Universe.
Wow, cool.
I don't know what it'll be called, but there will definitely be shops, restaurants, and things there as well. So that is exciting for me as a local in the area.
Oh, heck yeah.
You know, because that's just more places to actually go and check out and see some fun food and things like that. But yeah, I am super excited about Epic. I expect there to be announcements and things as we move toward the later of this year as far as like what it's going to look like booking-wise. Because, you know, I think as soon as they announce the ability to book it, I think it's going to be a hot item for 25. So,
all right. Got a few questions here.
Sure.
So describe to me the timeline from announcement to where we're at right now. I mean, cause like, I remember this, it just seemed like it hit I'm talking about Jurassic Park being a new movie. I know I kid, but like this seemed to go up like overnight.
Yeah.
Like what was the construction timeline here?
So it's incredible. It's incredible when you think about how ambitious it was when they first announced Epic a couple years ago to now. Because, all right, so I don't know. So it actually announced right before the pandemic, right? Like there was some people brought in for Universal Creative. Then, of course, the pandemic hit, right? So then Epic was kind of put on pause, rightly so. Nobody knew what the world was going to look like recovery-wise. But then, you know, as soon as, you know, 2021 hit and you started seeing this resurgence into the theme parks, Universal exploded again. And then they said, okay, let's push play. And from the time they pushed play in 21 to the time it's probably because they had just, I mean, they hadn't even broken ground when they, you know, before 21. And you're going to probably see an open theme park, a whole theme park in 4.5 years. It's unbelievable.
Wow. Yeah. I think we've been suffering through a broken Yeti for decades at this point, and they're creating a whole park in 4.5 years. Now, I know that timeline is dwarfed by, like, you know, the Disneyland construction in California in 1955, but times were different. Life was different. The world was different. But this is amazing, you know, okay. Describe, so if you're not a fan and you're not familiar with the location, in terms of Universal Orlando proper, how far are we talking away? Is it right next door? Is it a mile? Is there a bus service? Where is actual Epic and whatnot? Where will it be located?
Right. So Epic, if again, it, you know, the legacy area of Universal today is kind of clustered together. And you can, you know, again, it's really just all convenient right there. It kind of reminds me of Disneyland to a point. For those that are familiar with Walt Disney World and Disneyland, Universal feels like that here in Orlando because it's scrunched together. You've got the hotels right there. You've got the, you know, City Walk, things like that. Where they're building Epic is actually just a couple miles. It's not even, I would say just a couple miles total because of the way you have the traffic pattern from, you know, where you're parking at City Walk to where they're building this on in Orlando. It's not far at all. So we're talking probably, you know, parks are about 10 minutes from each other, right? You know, give or take, you know, traffic in that, in that set.
Okay. So if you were looking at a map and you were like a Disney fan, like I've never even visited the Universal Parks, tell me where they're at. If you were to take I-4, I-4 shoots in a kind of a cross direction. It's not straight across the state. It goes north towards Daytona. As you leave Walt Disney World and you travel towards downtown Orlando, the first park you're going to hit is going to be on the right-hand side, and that's SeaWorld. And then if you go about a mile and a half past that, you're going to actually see the volcano of Volcano Bay on the left-hand side, and you're going to be approaching where the turnpike would intersect I-4. And you're going to notice, you're going to see Dr. Doom's Fear Fall. You're going to see all those things on the left-hand side. It's across from the Orlando Eye, the gigantic, essentially the massive Ferris wheel. You'll see it, but it's more towards located in the Dr. Phillips Windermere area, but close to the turnpike on I-4. Now, Epic is located where exactly? Is it across I-4? Is it
So
towards the
let me
airport?
I'll tell you what I'll do. And I just to give everybody kind of a visual at home, if you want to look this up. So where it's going to be, so Sand Lake Road.
Okay.
And this, I think you're familiar maybe with where Sand Lake Road is here in Orlando, where this is going to be. It's actually going to be sent, it's going to be, not too far from where Universal Boulevard is today, down toward, and let's see here if I can
And I
pull
sprung this on Jesse, so I would expect him to be like, okay, let me
up.
figure this one out. But it's important
Great.
because, when you take a vacation, a universal vacation, you might in the future plan, okay, I want to spend 2 days at the studios and at Islands of Adventure and 2 days at Epic. But you may be able to stay and take shuttles back and forth, but what is the time allotted? Now, bear in mind, you're thinking, well, it's not necessarily tied in. But let's be honest, if you're staying at Kidani and you're going to Magic Kingdom, you're looking at a 30 to 35 minute bus ride, no doubt about it. So, as far as timelines go, it won't be all that different than if you stayed on Disney property and stayed at a resort that was located farther from the parks.
Right.
So.
So today, if you were to visit Universal and where the two new value resorts for Universal are, they're not in the Legacy area. They're across the street. They're back. It's not really easy to walk to Universal from there. You can, but it'd be better to take a bus. If you were to go back toward those on Universal Boulevard and continue past that, even farther behind that, you're going to go back into that area. That's where Sand Lake Road is, and that's where you're going to see Epic Park. And I think it's funny because there's Lockheed Martin is back there, so this big
Okay.
developer. But that's that used to be Epic Universe used to be. That property was the Wet n Wild here in Orlando. So when they bought that all that property for Wet n Wild, so that's what they're developing that up on. And I don't know if you had a Wet n Wild or
Oh,
you have.
I've been to that Wet n Wild
Oh
before,
wow.
Jesse.
Okay. So
Yeah.
did you know exactly? So that's where sure that's where that's going to be when they built this up. So.
Sure, I remember going on the, well, I forget the name, the Der Stuka. It was the dive bomb. It was essentially you went in there and it was the drop slide. So yeah, I've spent some time in that Wet n Wild. So not too far. I would say you could even in theory, you could probably even walk, but it's not going to be designed for that. You're going to be designed to
Right.
shuttle or move and stay on that property. So, okay, outstanding. Let's go back to Universal proper at this point.
Sure.
And I let's talk about Halloween Horror Nights, because as we move in, we're already talking middle part of June, we're in the 4th of July, and then life speeds up quickly. You get from the 4th of July to the middle of August to bam, you're at Halloween season all over the place. So
Yeah.
let's talk about Halloween Horror Nights. What is the opening night of their Halloween schedule for these parks? Because
So,
it's early, isn't it?
yeah, so for this year, I believe it's, and it's not as early as what Disney does with their Mickey's Not So Scary, because I think
Yeah,
that
Mickey's Not
starts
So
like
Scary is July
August
the 5th at
15th.
this point.
So Universal kind of waits a little bit, which is good. It's So the Halloween Horror Night events at Universal will begin on September 1st this year,
Okay.
and they will run through the 31st. So they'll do the true stop at Halloween. So they're not going to do a day past it. Horror Nights is phenomenal, and it's a very fun event. Myself and a fellow EDCOT member, Tyler Lee, he came down last year, and we went together. And I think he's coming back down and bringing, his family to visit again. I think we're gonna try to meet him up over there this year too for it. But if you have not been to this event, I highly recommend it. If you are, and let me stop for a minute and think, okay, yeah, there's scare elements to this, but it's very controlled. It's not a normal horror house where if you're working through a haunted house, people can't touch you. They have team members stationed throughout. But what I love about it, Chris, is that you have the power of the Universal Company that they build these sets, these houses up. You're right on, like, whatever it's themed after, you're in that set. Mm-hmm. So it feels like you're in that show, in that movie. So, for instance, last year we went through one of the Halloween. It was the Michael Myers.
You're in Haddonfield. You're in Hawkins. You're in all these sets, right?
So good. Yeah. And then they also have original themed ideas. And to me, I think that is where they shine the most, is because they had, I think if you were to ask and poll people that went last year to tell you what their favorite house was, I think a lot of people are going to say Dead Man's Pier. And that's not even a house that it's not based on anything, you know. I think we walk through that and be like, we want that story. That is how good the theming of that house is. So you walk through these houses and there's 10 of them. They have not announced the 10 houses this year. We know one already. They advertised it last year during the event. So there is going to be a Chucky themed house based on the revival of Chucky from USA. Mm-hmm. In addition to the haunted houses that they have, and I say haunted houses, more like these scare houses, or I can't think of the proper term for them, but they are houses. You're going to also have scare zones. There's different scare zones. And this is just areas as you walk through the park where it's going to be themed after a different, you know, something, you know, you might walk through like a graveyard, you know, and there's zombies, or you might walk through, you know, a witch coven area or something, but it's just some different themed scare zones. And then there's also a fantastic show that runs throughout that it's kind of like a pyro meets Cirque du Soleil.
Okay.
Show, and cool. It's so incredible. But the event itself, it's a fun time. It's not recommended for children under 13. Now,
my question next was how old? Okay, 13.
But I will say this: you know your child, and you know what they like. But I would also say, you know, 13. There's just the element of maturity there. I think that you know you have to judge for yourself. Universal's not going to turn you away. You know, or you as a parent will make the call there. But they say recommended is 13 and above. And then I would also say, you know, as you think about, you know, going or not, you know, it's definitely a different way to be in the park. You know, it's, you know, again, it's the closest thing you have to like the Disney after hour parties. Like, you know, it's definitely not Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. Okay. So definitely keep that in mind, but it's just a different event and it's very fun. There's different themed foods, different themed drinks. You can do special add-ons, like you can do a RIP tour, which is the VIP tour during the event, which gets you front access to all the houses. And I will say this, if you are visiting, the closer you get to Halloween, the busier you can expect those nights to be, mm-hmm. which means, and realistically, you know, the number of houses that you're able to do in one night. So okay. If you are visiting and you want to make it through all 10 houses and you're going to, you know, I would say you're either going to have to look at doing express pass for Halloween Horror Nights or a RIP tour. You know, even before you start, now, I don't know if people at home probably know this or not, but so the way this works is it happens after hours at Universal, but the after hours for Universal Studios, not for Islands of Adventure. Islands of Adventure is untouched during this time, but during the event nights, Universal Studios will close at 5 p.m. to the regular guests. They'll get everybody out of the park. If you are in the park, or even if you're not in the park, you can go in at 6. But if you stay in the park, they have what they call holding zones. And those are a great way to get a jump on houses. So if you're visiting and you have the ticket, you go in during before they close, get into a holding zone for the house you want. It's a good way to get ahead and check out some great themed houses.
So. That was my question for you. So you're reading my mind. I was like, okay, so I know it's a hard ticket event. What if I got tickets that day and I'm just dying to get in 3 of these houses? Can I get a jump start? And you explained that there. Is the price flexible if you were to go, say, September the 1st as opposed to October 25th? Is the price variable?
Absolutely. So they do use a dynamic date-based pricing. So you'll see that it's going to be cheaper in September. then it's going to be in October. So, you know, some nights are going to be as cheap as $74.95 a ticket, but you're going to see that the pricing can go up to, you know, like $110 for a ticket as you start to get closer to Halloween. And then for those of you that, you know, if you're going to be visiting, it's Universal as your vacation and you want to go multiple nights, as we start to get closer to the event, they haven't released this yet, but in years past, they will release what's called a frequent fear pass that you can take. It's kind of like a season pass for just Halloween Horror Nights. Mm-hmm. So this is something that you can take, and you do the math, you know, because you'll see different passes have different blockout nights and where you can and cannot go. So it's definitely worth considering, you know, if you're going to go more than one night to kind of spread out, you know, instead of having to pay for Express Pass.
For sure.
Yeah, RIP.
Okay. Now let's leave Halloween at this point. So on November the 1st, do the parks have an automatic transformation or does that take place over a few days? Sure. I'm trying to equate it in people's minds for when they go to Walt Disney World. Yeah. Right? On November the 4th, it's still Halloween because it falls on a Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
But on Monday, it's Christmas. So how does that changeover take place at Universal?
Right, absolutely. So it's not quite as dramatic of a change from Disney to the
Universal Christmas. Gotcha.
But interestingly enough, though, just on a pause, just a note there, Chris, did you see that the Disney Halloween, the Mickey's Not So Scary, is actually going to have the November 1st date this year?
Well, they've done that before. I recall that where it's gone past it just because it's ended up falling on that weekend.
Yeah.
Six Flags also does that for their Fright Fest. Right. If it happens to be that weekend, it's okay. And all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel right at all, you know, but yeah. Okay.
So holidays at Universal. So what they'll do is like, and it is incredible how they change over even there from, day, like a day visitor to Halloween night, Halloween Horror Nights. It's incredible how they make everything change within that hour's time. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got so many people on working on staff, but even when they make that final changeover, you're not going to see all the Christmas decorations up day one after Halloween Horror Nights. You'll start to see it within that week or that week and a half. Usually the Halloween or the Universal holidays will start around that second week in November. So I think it'll be around the 12th or 13th this year is when you'll start to see the holidays at Universal spring up. And then of course that will run all the way through New Year's. But holidays at Universal, you know, again, I will say this, I think the holiday parade at Universal is incredible. And I think mm-hmm. it gives a run for the money on that, the one that goes through Magic Kingdom Main Street. So the holiday parade there actually features, of course, it's Macy's, it's themed after Macy's, because if you're in Universal Studios, you know, they have the New York section. So you kind of see that parade walk through. It's like being in, you know, Central Park watching mm-hmm. or, but then you've got the DreamWorks characters, the Shrek, you know, the giant gingerbread man float that they have. They have the giant Nutcracker float and they've got Santa, but they've got, I just think it's incredible to see that there. But if you shift and you go over to the other park, Islands of Adventure, you get the Grinch. And I'll tell you this right now, the Grinch is fantastic at Universal. Mm. So they do a show. They do a Christmas show with the Grinch there and the Who's. But then they've also got a meet and greet. Last year, they brought back the character breakfast with the Grinch, which sold out like almost within hours, some days of it opening, because it was just that popular. And then they also do, and this is, if you're listening, keep watch on this because it is worth every penny you'll pay. They've done this mini VIP holiday tour, and they released it during the pandemic year. So when they opened back up that year, they actually released a holiday tour, and then it kind of got better that next year. And then yet last year they brought it back again. But this is a very fun way to be in the park after hours at Universal for holiday. Includes Grinch meet and greet, hot cocoa, cookies, some bites to eat, a priority access to an attraction like VelociCoaster or Hagrid's or something like that. But it's very, it's really well priced for what you're paying and what you're getting. So keep an eye on that for whenever they announce it, because it does sell up pretty quick, especially for the times that you want to be there. Everybody's going to want, you know, if you, a lot of people are traveling Thanksgiving and Christmas weeks. So definitely look at that.
Okay. So I'm going to put you on the spot now.
Sure.
So I know the listening audience is largely made up of Disney fans, but you know, even if people like to give shade to Universal, we're Universal fans as well too. Tell us one thing that we don't know about Universal. Tell us the secret. Tell us the dirty secret that we should all know. Is it the deluxe hotel getting us the express? Tell us something that we should know.
Sure. So this is a favorite one of mine. And I think people may already know this. They might already know that if you stay at a Premier Resort, you do get your Express Pass Unlimited included for the entire length of your stay. And what I want to say is I want to take that trick and secret a little further here for you, because, you know, as you start to budget for a vacation and you look at this and you think, okay, if I'm going to stay at Universal, you might see that that's going to be a costly, you know, it's going to costly stay, right? Mm-hmm. You know, just depending on the season, that night could be anywhere from $400 to all the way up to $800-$900 a night, just mm-hmm. depending on when you're coming. But my trick is this. So the key word there is length of stay, Chris. One night at a Universal Premier Resort gives you 2 days of Universal Express Pass. So you can actually, and I have this all the time, people ask, all right, what's your good tip? Even if you don't stay the night in that hotel, you can still rent the room. You have to check in to get your key card, but that key card is your Express Pass. And I will tell you, if you're a family 3, 4, or 5, almost, and I won't even say almost, I know always it's going to be cheaper than you buying Express Pass for just one day.
Isn't that crazy?
It is unbelievable. It saves so much money. And if you haven't enjoyed Express Pass at Universal, it will be hard to come back from. Because yeah. when you go over to, and look, you know, we love Disney, and I think that we all, you know, might have our woes with Genie Plus, but when you take the two systems and you compare them, even FastPass in its glory of days, you know, I don't think compares to ExpressPass at Universal. Hmm. The Express queues at Universal is just, it's the way that a true line skip system should be done.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. So we've intrigued people. What's the best way to get in contact with you? Because I want to value your time today. What's the best way? We've got a lot of things going on, and there's a lot of cool things, including parks and Minions Land. And what would be the best way to either book or get additional information for you, buddy?
Absolutely. So, you know, the easiest way, probably, if you'd like, just find me on Facebook. My name is Jesse Fouts. You know, I am a member of the Edcot group. But if you want to email me, you can email me at jesse.fouts. And my name is jesse.fouts@marvelousmousetravels.com. And yeah, definitely please reach out. I'd love to help answer questions, you know, talk to you about Universal, geek out a little bit on some of the franchise stuff there. You know, and again, you know, I think, Chris, you know, I know we've talked about this before. You know, I love Disney and I love Universal. I love them both. I don't think it has to be an either or. You know, you'll find me at Disney for a couple hours in the morning and Universal a couple hours in the afternoon.
Jesse, I agree completely. Even podcasting, I'm going to relate this to podcasting. When we first started off, a very influential podcaster told me there's room in the pool for all of us. And I'll translate that to parks. There's definitely room for all these parks to coexist at one time. So, but watching you travel, and seeing how this move has been just terrible for you, how you're not excited or happy at all to talk about this information, yeah. Where else are you professional on? Because I see you all over. I see you on beaches. I see you at parks. I see you in California. Where else can people pick your brain about traveling?
Sure, absolutely. So anything from Disneyland to Universal Studios Hollywood to the theme parks here in Orlando, you know, you can reach out to us if you want help on sandals and beaches resort for all inclusive. Also Palace Resorts, all inclusive. They've got some fantastic properties across Mexico and Jamaica. But definitely can help with just about any of those all-inclusive resorts that you're going to want to go to. And yeah, I, you know, pretty much if you can travel, the other the other piece too. And if I'm not on land, I'm at sea on a cruise ship, right? So cruises is the next big thing for, you know, I love cruising a lot. And if, you know, I think we could probably do, you know, a whole episode devoted to just how much I love cruising. But you know, yeah, it Royal Caribbean, Disney Cruise Line, Norwegian Cruise Line. I'm excited to try some new cruise lines out, like Virgin Voyages coming up, you know, so
things outstanding. Like that. Yeah. Outstanding. All right. So again, Jesse, so reach out to him, find his name, Jesse Fouts or Marvelous Mouse Travels, and you'll find information on Jesse there. So yeah, dang, you know, a lot going on and exciting stuff, you know, so it's only going to raise the bar. It's only going to raise the bar because we were talking off the air, you know, you've been to four parks at Disney and, you know, change is inevitable and improvement's inevitable. But when you look across up the road in I-4 and you see all that improvement, you're like, okay, well, this is going to help the arms race because now Disney's going to have to up their game. But hey, don't forget here because they've already upped their game like three times worth. So yeah, go visit them. Oh man, dang. I didn't plan on having to book a trip or anything along those lines. And now I'm like, how am I going to meet my buddy Jesse and his family up there? This is awesome. Awesome. So
yes, let's go hit the Universal Parks, Chris. I'll tell you what.
I'm a huge Halloween fan too. And I've never been to Halloween, you know, horror nights. And whenever I see the promotions from, I'm like, I've got to be there. And I was so jealous of watching you and Tyler last year, just like two dudes hanging out at the trip. I was like, why am I not there right now? Well, I was regretting it. So
it's funny because it poured. It poured rain.
I
don't think my feet have ever been as wet. And we went from open to close at 2 a.m. And I tell you what, we were still sopping, but it was fantastic. And we had just the best night. And we hit all 10 houses. We did.
Outstanding. Well, Jesse, I want to have you back on too, because I do want to do this show about how life has changed and your acclimation into Florida living, because that's worthwhile too, because you actually took the step. You know, I've got a good friend, Rick Forbes, who's going to take that step very soon, but you've taken that step and I want to know how life has changed and evolved for you. I think everyone does. So we're going to have you back on. Anyways, questions again, go and seek out Jesse. He's a good dude. He's a hard worker and he's a director of operations. So you're talking to, you know, you're talking to Jesse here. All right. So for downloading and for listening, we appreciate that. We hope we've piqued your interest in the Universal properties. So for my friend Jesse and myself, I'd like to thank you and we want to wish you a great day.
Bye. Thank you.